trying to hear can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free stay.
This is Late Hits. Late Hits. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. And by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
This is the only live, local, consistent evening sports radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1. Big Johnny B!
Big Bad John.
On the other side of the last domestic controls, at Third Coast Johnny. On the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Hey Google, play ESPN975. Alexa, play ESPN975. Take us with you everywhere that you go. We're going to have a whole lot of fun tonight. We got the Astros kicking the slumlords of the South Bronx's ass. And we got the NBA draft going on live right now as we speak. The Magic are on the clock. And we'll have live instant reaction analysis. Our buddy Joel Blank, he will call in a little bit later on after the Rockets make their pick. Rockets with three picks in the draft, 3, 17, and 26. Will Eric Gordon still be a Rocket at the end of the night? Whole lot of fun things going on. Arch Manning going to Texas. Horns up everywhere. Sam Kahn from The Athletic, the college football techspert, he will likely join us tomorrow. And we'll get all the lowdown with Sam tomorrow night on what's going on as Steve Sarkisian, with the coup of the year in college football, gets the most sought-after prospect in all of high school. The most sought-after college prospect. The guy who has basically been, like, knighted the next king. Arch Manning is coming to Texas. Man, today doesn't suck. Oh, by the way, in something I predicted a couple of months ago when the Nets got eliminated, Brooklyn is coming apart at the seams. Kyrie Irving wants out. Kevin Durant wants out. Oh, those picks are looking better. Those picks are looking good, baby. We got lots of fun to have tonight. Adam Silver's bald head is at the podium. I think he's just doing the whole, we're here to talk about all these great things, blah, blah, blah. Look at me, I have bald head, blah, blah, blah. I'm wearing a very basic suit, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's the draft. Hold on, let me turn the page. I think I've got some more blah, blah, blah to read. Blah, blah, blah. Has anybody here seen if Kyrie Irving is around? Because he probably thinks this building is flat, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, congratulations to the Warriors for winning the NBA title, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you about the core values of the NBA, blah, blah, blah. Someone passed the gray poupon, blah, blah, blah. Draft will be fun when it finally gets going and Adam Silver shuts the hell up. But for those of you who didn't realize the Astros started an hour ago, because 7:05 New York time, 6:05 our time, the good time, the real time. Alex Bregman, 3-run bomb in the first. Yordan Alvarez, 3-run bomb in the third. 6-3. Good guys. And nothing would be better than smacking the slumlords of the South Bronx right in the mouth. You know what? This series, a lot of people look at, oh, this series is the measuring stick. No, it's not the measuring stick for the Astros. It's the measuring stick for the Yankees. Let's keep this in perspective, people. The Astros have owned the Yankees since 2015. Absolutely owned their damn souls. Jose Altuve owns as much of the Yankees as the Steinbrenners do. The Astros are beat up, right? No McCullers, no Odorizzi, no Pena. Diaz is banged up. The Yankees are at full health. Now, the Yankees haven't been at full health for several years. Yankees are at full health, have the best record in baseball. But certain things have to go here for the Yankees. See, they have everything to prove. They have no excuses. They're fully healthy. They're at home. They have the best record in the league. It's on them to say they can beat the Houston Astros, because the Astros have already beat the Yankees in 2015, in 2017, in 2019. I would say last year, but they didn't freaking make it. They didn't get to the Astros level. The Yankees have to prove they can beat the ghost of the Astros. The Yankees have to prove they can stay healthy for 162 games because they have not shown that in recent years. What they have shown is when they are not healthy, they play like turds. They can't overcome the injuries. That has been a hallmark of the Astros. The Astros' ability to next man up is as big a part of their run as anything. They went to the ALCS in a year where they had four starters on the IL at the same time. Four-fifths of the rotation was on IL. They managed to get through essentially 2 years of no Justin Verlander. Went to the LCS of the World Series. Yankees get injuries, they flop out. So they got to show they can stay healthy because they can't overcome injuries. And then, after all of that, they got to prove they can win in October. Because the Astros have already proven that every single year. 5 years in a row. If you want to go to the World Series, you got to go through the Houston Astros. What are the Yankees done? Oh, yeah. They lost. Everything on this series, quote, measuring stick, that's all for the Yankees. All the pressure is on the Yankees. Their general manager, who threw the biggest lump of BS out there of, oh, well, you know, the only reason we didn't go to the World Series is because, well, the Astros, they cheated in the most despicable way. Oh, then that letter came out and said you were doing it first, didn't it? You lying sack of turds. All the pressure is on the Yankees. They've got to show they're really the best team. They've got to show they can really beat the Astros. But it's only June. So even if they win, it's fleeting because they have to do it in October when it matters. But if they lose in June, here comes the panic button. Here comes New York Sports Talk Radio. Oh, the Yankees can't beat the Astros. The Astros got the Yankees' number. What are they going to do? They got to make a move. They got to get a catcher. They got to get a this. They got to get a star. They got to get Pennant. It's all going to come down like a house of cards. It'll be beating, verbal beating after verbal beating. And I am here for it. The first pick of the NBA draft is in. And it is Paolo Banchero. Banchero goes number one to Orlando. Every single reporter who's all been having it as Jabari Smith number one. All wrong. You know who had it right? Vegas. Last night, the sports books went nuts. All of a sudden, Banchero went from like plus 800 to minus 300. Out of nowhere, all the books were, Banchero blew right past Smith for number one. So Banchero, who everybody thought was going to be number three, right here, goes number one to Orlando. The Thunder are on the clock. Please take Chet Holmgren. Dear Oklahoma City, please take Chet Holmgren. Because if you're asking me to pick between Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith, I want Jabari Smith 12 out of 10 times. I'm sorry, I do not trust 7 foot tall and 190 pounds to stay healthy. That is the combination in the NBA that does not work. I don't trust that Chet Holmgren could stay healthy. I heard Jay Billison with the Wheelhouse talking about comparing Chet Holmgren to Giannis? I'm not trying to disrespect Jay Billis. I have a ton of respect for Jay Billis, but was he drunk? Is anybody think that Chet Holmgren is driving into the paint and bullying people the way Giannis does? Giannis throws people around in the paint. Giannis is a damn wrecking ball.
Yeah, but if you look at Giannis when he was
when he first came to the draft, he was skinny as hell.
Yeah, maybe he's thinking he can bulk up like Giannis did and make the similar impact.
I don't know.
That's a stretch, though.
I don't see the same body size build. Like, Giannis looked like he could grow into his body. Chet Holmgren just looks like a tall, skinny dude. I see way more Sean Bradley than I do Giannis. And those real big, tall, skinny dudes usually have foot problems. I mean, even Kevin Durant is like the one exception. The guy was like 6'11". But, you know, what were Kevin Durant's injuries? Foot, Achilles. And he's like the exception to the rule. A lot of big guys have foot problems. The amount of torque that you put on your feet when you're that size. But 195 pounds. Guys who are 6 foot tall outweigh him. I don't see how you can be successful in the NBA when you're that light in the butt. He's going to get bumped. He's going to go into the third row. God, could you imagine it was still the 90s? He'd be in the 12th row. Paolo Banchero goes number one overall to the Magic. The Thunder are on the clock. Then it's the Rockets. We'll have more coming up on the other side. This is Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
We get it tonight! Chet Holmgren goes to OKC! Do you know what this means? Houston. If it is anything other than Jabari Smith, I might throw things. Jabari Smith had better be coming to Houston. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you know what? If whatever reason, you know, maybe the Magic were throwing out smoke screens to everybody saying they were going to take Jabari Smith, but they went with Boncaro. Maybe they had a last-second change of heart. I don't care. Because if they're getting a guy who competes at the highest level on both ends of the court, is 6'10", is only 19 years old, like barely 19 years old. He didn't even work out. He didn't even work out for the Rockets. He only worked out for the Magic and the Thunder. He didn't work out. It better be him. They better not mess this up. All right. Right now, joining us, HRNP guest line. Well, coming up soon, Joel Blank, former director of broadcasting for the Rockets for 17 years. He's going to join us right after the Rockets make their pick, and it better be Jabari Smith. How could it not be, right? I mean, who's the next best guy? Tyler Ivey? They already got a bunch of guards. They need a big. Isn't the whole reason, part of the reason why they moved on from Christian Wood right after they worked out Paolo Boncaro was they were going to be perfectly fine with Boncaro being the pick. Well, now it's Jabari Smith. How can you get this wrong? This is, you're getting the guy who was supposed to go number one at three. I like it. I like it a lot. I like these, you know, big, intense, can shoot. I mean, he might be the best shooter in the draft. And he's 6'10". And he's 19. Oh, and Kyrie wants out of Brooklyn. Kevin Durant's going to want out of Brooklyn. All those picks. I'll say it again, mama. Give it to me. The only thing that could make tonight better is if I won like $10 million in the lottery. I mean, that's the only thing that could be better. The Rockets are stepping in it. The Astros are kicking the Yankees in the junk. Today was a good day. Johnny's over there like in his glory. I can't hear him because this is like partition of glass in the way. But I can read the look on his face. He's saying bad words, but in a good way. Alex Bregman, now you might remember Tuesday, I had said after Bregman's first at bat, it's like, you know, his swing looks right. Short step, short swing, through the zone quickly, level swing, using all fields. Breggy looks like he's ready to bust out. Breggy's got a three-run homer. He's 2-for-2. Those of you who are waiting for the season to start for Alex Bregman, I think it started on Tuesday. Bald-headed Silver is at the podium. Jabari Smith is coming to Houston. I love it. I love it. I'm not going to crash my car into a bridge, but I love it. By the way, that is the dumbest friggin' song. I mean, that, I don't know, between what if God was one of us and I crashed my car into a bridge, I don't care, I love it. 1 and 1A, dumbest bleeping songs ever, immediately followed by, it's Friday, and I'm doing it nasally. I mean, at least the chick is cute in that video, but still. Got Jabari. Got the number one dude. We got him. Let's get Joel on. Joel Blank, Killer Bees, smartest basketball guy in the city, on the HRNP hotline. What is up, brother?
What's up, man? I mean, you want to win the lottery, too, and get $10 million. I think Jamari just got that and a whole lot more, and the Rockets got the best player in this entire draft. I mean, it's an amazing night if you're a Rockets fan. It's exactly what no one thought was possible. You know, the entire process, he was rumored to be the number one player in this draft. I had said all along I felt like he was the best overall player in this draft for not only – what he can bring into the league, but also that the fact that his ceiling was the highest in terms of how much better he could get, but he still was already on his way to an NBA body. And like you said, Pat, I mean, his shooting touch might be next to, you know, Malachi Branham and a few other guys. He might have the best shooting touch in this draft class too. So if you're a Rockets fan, don't be mad you lost Paolo Banchero. Be extremely grateful you just fell right into the best player, in my opinion, in this draft.
You knocked over a box of gold, but you fell in a pit of gold. I mean, can't be happier right now. Can't be happier.
No, you know what? I don't understand how anybody can't be just over the moon ecstatic with what just happened because, you know, as much as we heard Chet Holmgren's name initially being thrown out there with his comp being Kevin Durant, you know, there's no Kevin Durant that just fall out of trees and end up, like, in your lap, you know, from draft to draft. But of the guys in this draft, the closer comp to Kevin Durant is Jabari Smith because he can face the basket from three and he can knock down threes. And he's athletic enough to defend on the perimeter. He's already got a – he's starting to get physical enough that he can guard in the post. He can play a variety of different positions. And with the space vacated by Christian Wood, you now have all the playing time in the world for a kid that when you put him next to Şengün and you put him next to Jalen Green, I mean, regardless of anybody else you put in and out of that lineup, that is a lineup for the next 7 to 10 years that if it stays healthy and stays together, is a lineup that you can do some things with and build around.
Yeah, when you think about how many times the Rockets – were small, where, you know, Christian Wood or Al Şengün, whichever guy was on, they were the only big really on the floor because they struggled to play those two guys together. Now you've got two bigs who kind of complement each other more because Şengün is a good shooter and has good post passing. And now you have Jabari Smith who can play inside, can play outside, can knock down shots from outside. You can play those two guys. The Rockets have, like, legit size for the first time in a little while.
No, look, Pat, I mean, to your point, you know, Christian Wood didn't want to play next to Şengün, and Christian Wood had to have the ball in his hand. And Christian Wood had a lot of demands and a lot of belief in his ability that not a lot of other people saw. And he wasn't too gung-ho about kind of playing alongside young kids. Well, now you got a kid that from everything that I've heard, from his disposition and his work ethic to his ability, it's just a kid that wants to get down to business, work, and be a part of an organization. And I think that, to your point, Şengün's going to be a guy that does all of his operating in the paint. And Jabari Smith is a guy that can get some buckets in the paint, but he can slide out and do what Christian Wood tried to do, but he can do it more consistently. He can shoot the ball from the perimeter. He can move the ball with passing. And he's athletic enough and fluid enough to be part of an offensive system or run the break. I think that when you look at the other two guys and you look at, I said Chet Holmgren was easily a 3-year project, just starting with trying to get him stronger and trying to get him put some weight on. And you look at Banchero, for as good as Banchero is, I think I compared him a lot to Julius Randle in the fact that coming out, he's about as good as he's going to be. He could get a little better. But I think that we've seen just about what he brings to the table. With Jabari Smith, you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting one of the best college players in the nation, but you're getting a guy that has no ceiling in terms of how good he can be and how much more he can develop in the next year or two.
Joel, let me, let me ask you this. Did we learn a lesson in the last 24 hours? Trust Vegas, not NBA reporters. Because if you remember last night, I don't know if you saw last night, I know you got little ones, and therefore you can't stay up till 4 in the morning. But Vegas sportsbooks, odds shifted like crazy. Banchero went from like plus 800 to go number one to like minus 300 and became the overall favorite, while every NBA insider was still swearing up and down, it's going to be Smith, it's going to be Smith, it's going to be Smith. And it turned out Vegas was right. Did we learn a lesson? Or is this, like, do you think this is kind of a one-off thing? Or, you know, is there something to be learned here?
No, I think, look, you know, kudos to Orlando in a time in which there are, believe me, general managers that are focused on tipping off their favorite NBA national reporter and giving them the information ahead of time and thinking that they're doing them a solid so that they can cash in a favor later on. It is amazing Orlando was able to pull off what they did, keep it as hush-hush as they kept it, and get the guy that they wanted all along because they have nothing to lose. I mean, they can say whatever they want because there's no one picking in front of them. They're going to get their guy regardless unless they were trying to trade out. But the fact that they kept it as quiet as they did, and to your point, the fact that Vegas was on top of it more so than these guys that are paid to be the national version of a Mark Berman, for better or worse, or a Woj bomber, or, you know, whatever Shams calls whatever he drops one. You look at it and you say, you know what? I actually appreciate the fact that it's still such a science that even Woj was fooled. I mean, late in the day, Woj was basically sending the message out there that the top three was going to be the top three we heard all along and there weren't going to be any changes. And it completely reversed with the exception of Chet staying at number two.
Real quick, while we were on the phone, the Sacramento Kings took Keegan Murray from Iowa, big guy. He's almost 22. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, in Sacramento, the pressure for them to win this year, to break their long postseason drought. Any thoughts on the Kings taking Keegan Murray and leaving?
I'm pretty shocked, Pat, because the fourth-rated talent in this draft was Ivy. And Ivy was a guy, if you pair him with De'Aaron Fox and you've got Sabonis as a big, I think that you really got the nucleus of a team that could actually turn it around and take the Sacramento Kings in places they haven't been since Vlade Divac, Chris Webber, and Mike Bibby. I'm shocked that they went that direction. I guess obviously, evidently Sabonis is your five and Murray's going to be your four. And evidently, more so than anything else, they really like the kid from Baylor and they're going to pair him with De'Aaron Fox and they're going to take their chances with that backcourt because the fact that Ivy, you know, by all accounts, and I talked to multiple scouts and multiple front office personnel guys that told me, as much as I did not see it, they were telling me they believe Ivy is really going to be good. And so I'm a little surprised that Sacramento did that. And I will give you a tidbit just because, you know, how much I appreciate you and your fan base and listenership. But, you know, I had said today, again, I reiterated, Eric Gordon's going to go, and I believe he's going to go before tomorrow morning, and I thought he would go as part of this draft. Right before the draft started, there's rumors of a three-way trade involving the Sixers and Rockets in which Eric Gordon would be a member of the Sixers, which I said was one of the three destinations I thought Eric Gordon would end up. So there is a chance that the Rockets could either add more draft capital tonight and or for no other reason get rid of a guy that can create a logjam in minutes that takes away from Green and Christopher and your young guys. So the Rockets could be doing what I've wanted them to do for a while, which is clear out the veterans that don't want to be here. And obviously John Wall is going to be the toughest to move now. But two of the three are gone, and that's going to free up a whole lot of minutes for your young kids to develop.
Daryl Morey trying to get the band back together. Only problem was the band didn't score. There is no number one hit.
3 years, 3 years and $30 million later, P.J. Tucker could be the next man through that door. Because that's the other rumor, is that P.J. opted out in Miami and that he will reunite Eric Gordon, James Harden, and P.J. Tucker.
Didn't win 4 years ago. Not going to win now. But sure, do it. Go ahead. Have fun. Be awesome.
Forget the Liberty Bell, Pat. They better have found the Fountain of Youth if they think that's going to work, and they better have found a diet plan for James Harden.
You know, I kind of feel like for Embiid here that he's going to be surrounded by what used to be the Rockets, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, look, James has got a lot to prove, and he's been a guy that's never liked to be in the weight room or to really focus on his physique. He's going to have to do that now because he's getting older. There's been a ton of criticism, and Joel Embiid is not going to settle for what James Harden brought to the table a year ago.
Now, Joel, let me ask you. The Rockets have 17 and 26. Do they stay in those positions, or do they package them and try to move?
Well, here's what I think, Pat. I think the more that I see some of the potential for who could slide, this Jokic kid, this international kid, is someone that initially was going to be a potential lottery pick, that now very easily could slide all the way down into where you're picking at 17. They obviously need shooting, and there are three guys that they are really, really high on. Rondell Moore from Duke. There's a kid from Toledo named Rollins that just shoots the lights out. And Malachi Branham from Ohio State. All guys, that two of the three guys, Branham and Moore, were rumored to be kind of fluctuating in the end part of the lottery to the last part of the lottery. If they have their choice at 17 of one of those four guys, I think they keep it. And then depending on who continues to slide, I think that the chances are that, you know, if another guy that they had earmarked higher than he was supposed to go slides in and around that range, I would think that they're going to probably end up taking all three kids. The only thing I could see changing that is if the guys that they liked are gone and or they get an offer they can't refuse with a contending team that sees someone they like sliding late in the draft and they can add some extra draft capital for future drafts. Because we know Daryl's given it all away, basically, after next year's draft.
Joel Blank, Killer Bees. He was the Rockets director of broadcasting for 17 years. He's the smartest basketball guy in the city.
23 years, sir. I did want to correct that.
My apologies. I did not want to shortchange you by 6 years. It's a long time.
So, 23 years. 8 years on as the radio analyst and studio host. So I'm just giving you some analytics to finish it off.
There's nobody better in this city than Joel Blank. On the NBA, on the Rockets, you do not want to miss the Killer Bees tomorrow at noon. On Twitter at Pac-Man Joel, appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Anytime, buddy.
All right, Joel Blank with us on the HRNP guest line. Ivy is going to Detroit. He was the fifth pick, so Cade Cunningham being joined by Jaden Ivy. So Detroit's got their guard-forward combo. Rockets have their guard-forward combo. It's going to be a fun night. This is where the excitement, you know, the pain of the losing has the excitement of draft day. And for Rockets fans, we didn't have excitement on draft day because they never had draft picks. You know, during the Harden era, you never had draft picks. So now, it's like, wait, it's a whole new experience. We have draft picks? What are those? And the hope and the promise all comes with it. This is Late Hits.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, going number six for the Pacers, Benedict Mathurin. The Blazers are on the clock. And then I believe it's the Pellies with the Lakers pick. I saw like people on Twitter saying, are the Angels the most disappointing team in sports this year? How is that not the Lakers? LeBron, AD, Melo, Westbrook weren't even in the top 10. They're a lottery team. They absolutely sucked. Yeah. The Lakers have to be the most disappointing team. Now, I didn't think they were going to win based on their roster, but a lot of people thought they were going to win based on their roster. The Lakers have to be number one, and the Nets have to be number two. And boy, is it Think about the Nets. They had Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell. They had a nice young nucleus where they were winning games, that Kenny Atkinson was a respected coach who got this team up together. They decide, no, let's go all in and get stars. They bring in KD. They bring in Kyrie Irving. They bring in old center from the Clippers.
Blake Griffin.
No, the center.
Oh, the center.
DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
KD's not even playing. Kyrie Irving makes demands on the Nets. Got to fire Kenny Atkinson. Can't play for this guy because, you know, he wants us to actually work. He wants us to play defense. They trade away Dinwiddie, Russell, LeVert, Allen. They acquire James Harden. They get the second round against the Bucks. Harden gets hurt. Kyrie gets hurt. They lose. Seven games, but they lose. This year, KD missed 20 games, and in those 20 games, Kyrie chased James Harden out of Brooklyn. And now Kyrie wants out, and KD might want out too. And the Nets better go get a lot of draft picks because all your picks are belong to us. All your picks are belong to us. People my age know what that means. Gamers know what that means. Regular people are just like, what the hell is he talking about? But boy, watching everything come undone. Because I said this, you know, when the Nets got bounced in the first round, Kyrie's got a player option. He's going to opt out. And if Kyrie opts out, KD's going to be like, I want out too. And then what do they have? Ben Simmons? He ain't never playing again. Ben Simmons looks at a bath. Oh, my back. Ben Simmons, he's never playing. He's collecting money to not play. You don't understand my mental state. I can't play basketball. It hurts my brain too much. It makes me so sad. I can't be a big-time athlete. It makes me sad. And the crazy part about this is, you think back to when the Nets tried to put together the old Celtics, and they acquired Kevin Garnett, and they acquired Paul Pierce. They acquired all these guys trying to make a run, and they gave away all their draft picks, and all those draft picks built what is the current Celtics. And then they went and did it again with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. And they're going to get the same failure with no draft picks. It's almost like the Nets are in a competition with the Knicks to see who could do more stupid things. Which team can be run the worst? Well, that's James Dolan. But here's the Brooklyn Nets going, wait, we're coming. We want that title. We want the DMF belt. Now, the BMF belt is baddest madre. DMF is dumbest. In the battle for the DMF belt, it's the Nets and the Knicks. The Blazers, who apparently are letting, they're going to do the Damian Lillard tells us what to do thing. They take Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky. So 19-year-old shooting guard, doesn't have a lot of experience. Most drafts, I saw him going 9 to like San Antonio. He winds up going 7 to Portland. He's a little bit more of a longer-term prospect. Long frame, athletic, raw. And the Pellies
with the Laker pick
are on the clock. But I wish the NFL draft moved this fast. It's like the NFL has to have like a full roll call in between every pick in the first round. Someone's like, and the delegation from the Chicago Bears, let me introduce the team president, Mr. Bleeble Bloob. The vice president, Mr. Blah Bleeble Bloob Bloob. The head coach, the assistant coach, all the staffers. Let me tell you who the lunch lady is, Mrs. Blah Bloob Bloob. And like 37 minutes later, in there, like 12 minutes, Chicago Bears select. The Detroit Lions are on the clock. Like to introduce you to the president of the Detroit Lions, Mr. Dumbest Bleep. The vice president, Mr. Dumber Than Bleep. That'll go on for 15 minutes. Dyson Daniels is the pick for the Pellies. Dyson Daniels, 19 years old, out of the G League. Guy who's got a reputation for being a strong decision maker, really good passer, cut and rebound, guy whose shot is improving. You know, big wings who can make plays on the ball. And Dyson Daniels going to the Pellies. Could have been a Laker. Could have been a Laker. No. We're going to be giving away picks to the New Orleans Pelicans from now until the end of time. I mean, Johnny, I don't know if you can look this up during one of the breaks, but who owes picks for longer? And I know the Lakers had a little bit of a head start, but longer time. The Lakers to the Pellies, the Rockets to the Thunder, the Nets to the Rockets. Who owes the most picks? Because I feel like those three teams, there's a swap of picks there that are the never-ending story. Now, are we going to hit a break here, or are we going to go right to the top here? What are we doing here? We're going to go to the top? All right. So Dyson Daniels goes 8 to the Pelicans. The San Antonio Spurs are on the clock. Astros and Yanks in the South Bronx. It's the Astros 6, the Slumlords 3. We call the Yankees the Slumlords. If you've ever been to Yankee Stadium, Yankee Stadium itself is beautiful. You go one block outside of Yankee Stadium, it's a war zone. Many years ago, before the new stadium was built, I was at a Yankee game. It was 1996. Yeah, it was the first year that they won in their dynasty. And trying to park was insane, and wound up not in one of the garages, but in one of the chain link lots. And it was further away than I'd usually parked. So I'm at the game. You know, 1996, with my then girlfriend. It's her first game ever. And coming out of the stadium, it's a long walk back to this lot. And you got to walk past some of the war zone. As you're walking past there late at night, there's like 40-gallon drums with fires in them. There's a turned over car. There's a group of, say, young impoverished men who are hanging out on a street corner, likely planning something nefarious. And she's terrified. And she didn't even want to cross the street to get to the lot because like, you had to walk past this group. And she's terrified. And I'm like, don't say anything to them. Just walk past. Don't say, don't look, don't anything. They won't bother you. So we start crossing the street. They all start walking towards us. She's completely terrified. I'm like, just keep walking. We're like 500 feet to the left. Just keep walking. They're getting closer. Just keep walking. All of a sudden, they stop and haul ass the other way. She's like, why are they running? Keep walking. We're walking right into the lot. Going past us comes another group of young, relatively impoverished guys up to nefarious deeds carrying weapons. And I don't mean bats and knives. I think they were going to... I think they were caught bringing knives to a gunfight. Because, like, they looked like they were ready to rumble, and then all of a sudden they hauled ass the other way. We got into the car, let that whole group walk by, right onto the highway, went home. just like that. Somehow, some way, we were not the intended targets.
So this is the moment you learned to take Uber, right? Or now, you know, that kind of stuff.
That was from now on. You need to not be late getting ready so that we can park in the garage. Because in the garage, we don't have that problem. You come out the garage, you go right on the Dagan. Having to go through the projects. I don't have to tell you that she basically didn't want to go to another game until the playoffs. Which, of course, you know, me being anti-Yankees and her being a Yankee fan. Those are tough years. Those are some tough years, Johnny. None worse than 2000. None worse than 2000 when we were at the Subway Series. And the damn Yankees kept winning by one run.
A lot of talk that... they're looking forward to another Subway Series this year up there. You think there's a good chance that can happen?
No, because the Yankees have to get through Houston. They can't do that. I think the Mets' problem is DeGrom hasn't thrown a pitch. And who knows if he's going to come back. Scherzer just went on his first rehab start. McGill is out. Carrasco, who got beat up yesterday by the Astros, having an MRI on his back. So he's out now, too. Mets are down four starters. And not like they're down two future Hall of Fame perennial Cy Young candidates and then two other starters. So the Mets are really beat up right now. They got to get healthy. They get healthy, they could get to a World Series. I think it's the Mets, the Dodgers, Padres, then maybe the Giants after that. I think the Braves and the Giants are probably like the next tier. But the Mets are so beat up. Astros have got their injury. But the Yankees are totally healthy. And that's why I said, like, the Yankees have no excuses. They're healthy. They're at home. They got four games against the Astros at home. And I know we can't prove it, but you know damn well the Yankees are freaking cheating. Just because it's the Astros. Even if they only cheat these four games, the Yankees will cheat just for these four games. Because they have to beat the Astros. They have to. Because they haven't for 7 years. Slide hits.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.